Well, in the midst of what is basically a very heartbreaking and terrifying time for the Great Barrier Reef, we saw some good news yesterday. Now, a team of Australia's best marine scientists have made a surprising discovery while hunting so-called super corals. It is a brand new species of coral, and it's the first to be discovered in over 30 years. Now, marine biogeochemist Dr. Emma Camp is a postdoctoral researcher at UTS, has spent years as a coral reef researcher, and was on the 20-day Great Barrier Reef legacy trip. Dr. Camp, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to chat. Now, tell us a little bit about the coral that was found.
So, Dr. Charlie Veron, who's one of the, you know, well, probably the leading coral taxonomist, also known as the godfather, of coral science. And so he was on the trip, and so it was actually him that discovered the particular potentially new species. So he was at this one site sort of swimming along, and he came up and said, you know, I've seen an Acroporus. That's a branching type of coral. And he said it was different to anything he'd seen before and wanted to go back and get a specimen and some pictures. So a team of us went back out and got a sample, and yeah, you know, and there was a few different taxonomists on the boat, and everyone sort of agreed it looked, you know, visually different to sort of any of these Acroporas they've seen before. So we'll now be taking that to do the genetics and confirm exactly what it is.
It was almost a perfect team to make that discovery. You had almost the great minds of coral there in one spot.
Yeah, you know, that's what's been really, you know, special about this particular trip. So GBR Legacy, who organised the expedition, invited, you know, an array of sort of scientists, but also we had, you know, some media communicators, educators. So we had a real diverse and dynamic group. And when it came to the science, it was exactly as you described. You know, we had people that were specialised, you know, and years in being able to sort of visually ID, you know, corals underwater. That's not an easy task when you consider, you know, there's well over 600 species. So, you know, so to have someone obviously like Charlie that, you know, could make, you know, make that discovery is, you know, really great. And then to have, you know, the other scientists on board to be able to, you know, run the science on the super coral species was, yeah, just a unique opportunity.
I understand that the site itself was a bit of an almost Garden of Eden when it came to coral.
Yeah, so, you know, we obviously had gone up to the northern part of the reef where we were anticipating and did see, you know, large areas that had been heavily damaged, and you know, I can only really describe some of those sites as a coral graveyard, and it was, you know, absolutely heartbreaking. So we'd, you know, gone to these sites where coral cover had been, you know, probably 95% lost, and so then to find a site that had such diverse, you know, coral cover, possibly the most diverse site in terms of, you know, these branching corals that, you know, people like Charlie had ever seen on the reef, you know, given, you know, his extensive time being up there. It was just, you know, it was a really uplifting moment, and, you know, gives us hope that there's still, you know, there's still a chance to, you know, conserve what we've got on the reef. And what's important is those areas are so biodiverse, they've got the ability to, you know, help reseed surrounding areas. So, you know, that's really why now we need to act and conserve what we've got to ensure that the reef can persist into the future.
Do you think we actually do have some time left?
I think we have time to survive, like, you know, to help the coral survive if we act now. So I think, you know, we have to, you know, make a decision if we want to continue, you know, with coal and carbon emissions, because if we do, then the reef will be lost. We need, you know, as much as the science is, you know, doing everything it can to try to understand traits that are allowing corals to survive and how we might be able to facilitate corals into the future, we need to, you know, really act to stop, you know, using fossil fuels. And the reason for that is that it's going to take time for the ocean to stabilize. So even if we were to cut carbon emissions today, it will take, you know, almost a decade for the chemistry and for the temperature to re-equilibrate to points where we aren't seeing these thermal, you know, events, you know, atmospheric events where we're seeing, you know, things like bleaching happening. So we really do need to act now and have science help us buy time to, you know, allow the corals to survive.
And I know the focus of the trip you're on was actually looking at these so-called super corals, the ones who can sort of survive the bleaching in some way. How has that research gone? Has it been good?
Yeah, you know, so that research has been, you know, it's been really interesting. We've seen, you know, like I described, there were some areas where there were just, you know, 95%, you know, mortality. But what was interesting was across all of these sites, you know, we saw a few key coral species that was doing well, and not just doing well, but was abundant. So one of the species actually that I was working on was another branch in coral called Acropora tenuis. And for whatever reason, that was just an example of a coral that just was doing fine. So, you know, we've got pictures where you just can't see anything but sort of pavement, and then you've got a big branching, you know, colony of Acropora tenuis. And so what we were doing on the trip was taking small samples of that, freezing some of it to look at the DNA and to try and understand if there's specific type of algae that associate with that coral. Is that potentially one part of the, you know, the tolerance? We're also looking, so we take the corals and put them in chambers, seal them with water, and what happens is the coral will change the oxygen and also something called the pH and alkalinity of the seawater, and those metrics give us indicators of health. So we've taken, you know, probably sort of got about 20 different, you know, sort of analyses that we're looking at to try to understand what it is about those traits that are allowing that coral to survive.
Look, Emma, I know you're still out Queensland way, so I will let you go. But just finally, do we have an idea of what we're going to call the new coral species?
We do not have an idea yet. I think that honour will be with Charlie. I think lots of... lots of people have been proposing some ideas. Two of the ones that have been thrown out there is obviously potentially something to do with GBR Legacy, if they obviously ran the trip, or wow, to do with John Rumney, because he is a sort of a bit of a icon and legend around Port Douglas, and really his sort of drive and passion has helped make the trip come forward. But that honour will be up to Charlie once they confirm that you know, it's a new species and where it falls into the taxonomy.
Well, we look forward to hearing it. Dr. Emma Camp, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Nick.
Dr. Emma Camp there, a marine biogeochemist from UTS, talking about that new coral species, and also, well, cautiously optimistic that we might have an opportunity to save the Great Barrier Reef if we act now.